right, and welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Snack Time with Mike and Ant. I'm one of your co-hosts, Ant Testator, a writer of names and flavor text for Wizard of the Coast and articles at Gathering Magic. And with me, as always, the one and only Mr. Flavorful Mike, the Cinnamon Lineman.
It does rhyme. Thank you for that. Not Lineman, not Lineman. I'm at Morthos Mike, here to talk some flavor with you today. We got a special guest. Antoine, who do we got with us today?
We have Mr. Victor Adame Minguez.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Hello. Okay, so we got a magic artist in today, you know, calling in from Mexico. Awesome. And we're going to get right into it, right into Flavor Gems. We'll get in the intros in a minute. So Flavor Gems, I'll go through mine first just so you can get a feel for it, and then we'll go into each piece. First thing I noticed is when we opened up the Zendikar art book, which was really in Zendikar style guide, there was a 2-page spread right in the middle of it.
And by the way, that's how you're supposed to open it. Like,
yeah, isn't it? Right in the middle of Tajuru Pathwarden. As soon as I open the thing up and I'm like, oh, okay. The young buck gets the centerpiece. Oh, okay. That's pretty nice. Who's this Victor guy? What's he doing? So, wonderful piece. It feels almost as this throwback vibe of should be a novel book cover from like 1998 of this longer history than just Zendikar, which we've just been to once or twice. It looks incredibly important, and I feel so terrible that it's on a common. Used in draft. you hope
it's not bad, though. It's not a bad common.
No, it's a very good common. It's decent, like, you play draft all the time. But if you make an artwork like this, you hope it's a rare. You hope it's a mythic. You hope it's this super awesome elf. And you're just like, come on, man. Common. Come on. But wonderful piece, Victor. Anything you remember about this piece while working on it, if you could?
Yeah, a lot. I was working with Jeremy. On this piece, I was gonna say there were two, but no, there were two sketches, not two pieces. And I remember that I got the chance to do more background than actual figure, than actual character. So I was really excited about it because I don't, like, as a character guide, I don't get to do a lot of, you know, lands per se or backgrounds or landscapes. Right. So I was pumped about this one because I finally had a chance to do it. So I was trying to focus more on the background than on the actual character he's mounted on.
And like getting the hedrons and all of that coming through the cloud cover and that kind of stuff.
I wanted to, like with my first pieces, there were a lot of things that I, as a magic player, that I wanted to do and wanted to do for a long time. So in a returning set, I was like really excited to do it because I had a lot of ideas through the time that like the original Zendikar was released.
So that's interesting. So you're saying, so you've been a fan and played Magic for a while, I guess, right? And so you played during the original Zendikar?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I've been playing for like 13 years.
Okay. So you actually play.
Yeah, I actually play. That's player. From everyone at the GP, like, you actually play, yeah.
See, so that's pretty cool, though, because so what you're saying is, you know, you're sitting there, you're playing the game, you're playing Zendikar, and just being a creative person, you're looking at the cards and thinking, oh, you know what would be really cool? A Hedron bursting through the clouds, like, that would be sweet. I'd love to draw that one day. And then you did.
And then I did.
And then here you are. Well, that's wonderful to hear. So, okay, so you're trying to tell me the next GP, everyone goes, you know, conventional hall closes, and if someone says, hey, do you want to play Commander? All of a sudden, you're going to whip out a deck out of nowhere?
I tried 10 decks.
Okay. Oh. You doesn't even, like, no packing of playmats.
No flinching whatsoever. Instead. Like, people are at his table. I want to get a card signed. You're like, I'm busy. I'm playing Magic. I'm here to play.
That's incredible.
What I really liked, what I worked on this set. I did names and flavor text for this set. And when I remember seeing this image, I thought it was really cool because I was wondering coming into it how they were going to tie into the fact that this was a return to Zendikar, and I was really looking forward to the different kind of visual plays that they were going to do. And I liked seeing an elf riding on a beast that we saw in the prior set, and it was just kind of showcasing the fact that that world was evolving. So I thought that was pretty cool to see. Mm-hmm. Just an elf riding a Baloth. That's
good art description.
Yeah, it is. It's a pretty spot on.
All right, Ant, what do you got for a flavor, Jim? We'll have Victor go last.
All right, so I have Gearper Gearcrafter from Magic Origins. This one in particular I really like because, one, Magic Origins was kind of a really stark kickoff of them broadening the diversity in magic art. And, you know, we have an ethnicity represented here that we haven't really seen that much of in magic, which is pretty cool. But what I also love about this is the way that it's depicting kind of red being creative, because, you know, commonly you won't really associate red creating artifacts. You think of them more as blowing stuff up, right? But the way that this artificer is creating their Thopter is in a very artistic yet chaotic way, in that he's just dumping liquid metal out and kind of creating these swirls and patterns and stuff. And it's almost like the way that maybe a painter would kind of attack a canvas. And I thought that that was a really cool image. So that's why I picked it.
All right, Victor.
Good job, Victor. I guess you did a good job.
I have a question about one thing that a community member talked about. So as Kaladesh was and is a set with a Indian theme of characters, his hair isn't a random white guy's hair. Shivam was talking to on Twitter, and he's like, oh my god, he's got an actual Indian guy's haircut. He actually has, like, the right hair gel for an Indian guy. Curious, did you do research into, you know, was that part of the art description, or did you just find resources to say, what should this look like?
Yes and no. Because one of the problems I ran into is that one of the first sketches I did, kind of, you could say, had a long hair. Like when I was doing the rough sketches and the thumbnails, that he had like long hair and robier clothes, you could say. And I was like, no, he's in a furnace. He shouldn't have all this stuff hanging or long hair. He could burn his hair.
Makes sense. All right.
And I was like, no, you know, let's do short hair. And I don't know. I just took it from there, I guess.
You just took it like as if this was no big deal for you. That's such a comical thing. It's like listening to. Jason Rainville mentioned, he's like, oh, it's a black guy. Why wouldn't he have a normal afro? Like,
right.
That's just logical. As if, like, you're here, like, oh, I drew him with hair. Like, no, you do understand, like, oh, my God, this is an actual Indian guy. Like, it's an actual guy. It's not like, oh, he just has brown skin. So, incredible work on that. It's a fun piece. I wish we could see, like, a wider view of this.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, me too.
like a whole workshop, and you get to maybe have like two or three artworks in this room, and you could see like what is this, a full workshop? Is this a whole building? I think that would have been so cool.
That might be a little too complicated, Mike.
Well, you can always ask for more. They're not always going to give you the whole image.
Hey, Mike.
Shocker. So, Victor, what do you got for us? Which piece you want to talk about?
I got Bastion Protector, which was for the Commander 2015, if I'm not mistaken, set, which is Bastion Protector.
Sure.
It's actually not a lot of people know, but it's my first commission from Wizards of the Coast, and at first I thought it was gonna be sent to the slush. To the slush pile, to the slush art, because it took a while from the time I painted it to the time it got released that I thought like it was never going to be released at all.
Right.
And flavor gem wise, as it was my first Magic card, as I was talking about earlier, as you mentioned that I am a player, and I look at all these cards and I'm like, oh, here's a cool idea. Here's how I would like this card to look. So I took all of them into one piece because I was really excited about making Magic art. That I took like all my existing ideas for Magic art into one,
and just crammed it into one image.
Yeah, just jammed it into one. Like I wanted to make the clouds. I wanted to make the girl. I wanted to make the armor, and I wanted to make like all these stuff, all these things. And like just one,
in one piece. Like you had to have the perspective looking upwards, otherwise you wouldn't be able to see clouds. Yeah, I totally get that. I like the piece. The armor feels very fitting. You've probably seen that activism blog. You know, women wearing realistic armor. They repaint them so the armor actually is correct and actually. effective. But yeah,
I just like the weight. I like how heavy that shield and how heavy the breastplate and everything looks, because I mean, she's giving your commander creatures +2/+2 and indestructible, so you would expect her to be, you know, beefy in terms of being able to, you know, sustain a lot or protect a lot of things.
Yep, pretty much.
Yeah. Yes, logically. Fantastic piece. And of course, everyone, this has been mentioned 1,000 times, that it might have an allusion to Maisie Williams from Game of Thrones.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
You know, people looking at it, you know, mentioned it 1,000 times, I'm sure, that you've heard.
Yeah, I've heard about it. One of the reasons being is that the angle, how it works with the face, makes the nose look a little smaller than it actually is. And then she kind of resembles, like, from the distance, like, if you got a Magic card and you look at it, you see the small image and you see the small nose, or at least what appears to be a small nose. And that's, I don't know, but...
The actress has a very small nose, and it's the brown hair, brown eyebrows. I get it. Almost everyone looking up...
And she's, like, you know, an in-your-face kind of a character, and on Game of Thrones she's very similar in that she's a very much in-your-face type of a personality.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, which is cool.
So, this piece, of course, made digitally. Would love to hear about your process and other people that might not have sat down and heard from you. So, do you start traditionally? I've seen you make maquettes. Like, what's your process to making an image?
This one, for example, I do have a recorded process. Let me see if I can find it here.
Oh, I'm excited now. I'm excited.
Like step-by-step kind of thing. No, this one I started digitally. I went digitally from start to finish. What I do is I start with thumbnails, as most people do.
Right.
But what I do here is that I... kind of tweak the thumbnail until it looks like what I have in my head, like my initial thought of how the piece should look like, and I just tweak one little thumbnail until it looks right, and then I make it bigger and draw a sketch on top of it.
Interesting. So your thumbnails they sound like it's much more methodical, where you'll draw one and think, oh, you know, maybe I want to move the arm up a little bit more, maybe I want to move the lighting a little bit more, and you just kind of massage it until you get it exactly right.
Yeah, I learned that from Rainville. He said really? in one of his posts or tweets that you should spend more time in your thumbnail. So I did, and that's how I do it ever since.
Interesting. And is that's all traditional, or is that digitally done too?
No, digital.
You started with digital.
Yeah. Actually, I carry around a notebook where I do most of my like doodles and sketches and stuff. And yeah, but almost always I do it digitally.
Okay, that's pretty cool. All right. So but that's just one part of it. I mean, you obviously make maquettes. I've seen one.
Yeah, this is honestly, I didn't know what a maquette was until you started posting them on Twitter. and then Mike was freaking out about them and how amazing they were that you were using them. And I was just like, I don't, what is it? It's, I had no idea.
So, Victor, explain to people that don't know what that is and how you use it.
Just a little disclaimer. I didn't use a maquette for this one. I did a maquette for, let me see.
Pathwarden.
For the Pathwarden, yeah.
Yeah.
And for Brutal Expulsion, I did maquettes for both of those. For the people that don't know what a maquette is, it's basically a little dummy, a little sculpture. It's almost always
It's a little clay sculpture, usually. Sure. A little
clay sculpture I use for reference. And I do it mostly of things that don't exist or that I don't have access to. Like, I can do a tree by just going out and looking at a tree, but you cannot have, like, just go outside and look at an Eldrazi and just paint.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I've only been to Mexico once, so you could have possible. They're in the forest. It's fine.
We're almost there.
It's not that season yet, Mike. Come on.
Wrong season. Come with the summer.
Obviously, it's Baleth season right now.
Oh. Okay, so once you make this thing, what do you use it for? Is it, I mean, you could study it, but what does that mean? Like, are you looking at lighting? Are you looking at, like, weight? Do you use it as you're sketching, or do you use it after you're sketching? How does that work?
No, I use it after sketching, because the sketch has to be approved. Otherwise, if they decide to make changes, I have to make the change on the maquette, which is not that easy.
Right. That makes sense.
So I try to make it as close as possible to the sketch. And what I'm looking at right now is lighting and how light interacts with all these shapes in the creature, for example. So I'm looking at lighting, because you don't get the materials, you don't get any of that from the clay sculpture. What you get is shapes, and how it interacts with these shapes. So.
So once you have your finalized sketch, you'll make this clay sculpture to match the pose in the sketch, and then you'll get like a flashlight or a lamp or something, and just put it where you would expect the light source to be coming from.
Pretty much. I don't use flashlights or with the wolf in how's this guy called? Neckbreaker.
Oh, sure.
I did use candles to light it up.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Because it's a little softer.
It's a little softer, but mostly I use daylight.
Oh, cool. Okay.
All right. So after the fact, what do you do with this? Did you just keep it? Is it sit on your desk?
The first one I did was a token for Akum Stone Waker.
Oh, sure. The elemental.
The elemental token, and I reused the materials for that one, so I don't have that one.
Daggers! Come on, man!
I should have kept it. Like right now, I should have kept it.
Should have kept it. That sort of thing is like people don't realize that those things exist, and would kill to have one of those things on their desk.
Yes, the neck breaker would be particularly sweet. That would be pretty cool. Like, what's that on your desk? Oh, just a neck breaker. Just a neck breaker.
I keep them. They're not for sale at the moment, and I don't think they'll ever be for sale. More like giveaway things.
Sure. It could be fun for an up-and-coming artist to have one or something. And you're like, here, study this, look at this, see how they work. Good for you.
Right.
Yep. Pretty much. In case
you find an apprentice, you know, near your house or something.
Yeah. I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, no, probably, maybe not.
So what did you look at? Did you use a maquette for the Breakneck Rider side for the horse? Because that horse in particular is pretty spot on. Like, Mike was talking about, I think on a couple episodes ago, that horses are particularly difficult, I guess, to paint.
Yeah. Not for me. No, they are. Yeah, they totally are. Now, just for this one, I just did the wolf because it was like kind of out of proportion. You know,
Okay.
to make it more intimidating, you could say.
That makes
No, but
sense.
the horse I used, I went out and killed a horse, and then I took a picture.
He just went into like a rural Mexican village, stole a horse.
Just found a horse.
Yeah,
Found a
he
horse.
found one. He found one.
Ripped it in half.
No, he was already like that.
Cripes. All right.
That's it. Perfect.
All
No,
right.
I just a re regular horse reference, and I just killed it in my head and assumed that's how it, you know, was gonna. It was pretty tough for me. Don't make me relive that moment.
The neckbreaker, the neckbreaker half, that horse reminds me of the Godfather, the horse's head. That's like kind of that same sad look.
Oh, it totally does.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, of course, the Italian guy mentions that.
Hey.
Fair. All right. So Victor, thinking what's coming up, looking at all these cards of yours, I'm finding that they're kind of in colors or areas.
Yeah, what's up, man? You don't ever do black cards. What's up with that?
You, I don't. There's no black
You're
cards.
like red and white. That's it.
And one green.
And one green.
And one
And
red.
oh, and you have like half of a blue.
Half.
Half a blue. It's a gold card.
It's a gold card. Yeah, fair enough. That's not my intention, man. I wish I did more black cards and blue cards and green cards, but I don't know. Just I think the art director people think I'm good at this, making red and white cards, and they give me those.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you can make a pretty sweet red-white deck, I guess. You have enough now. I, by the way, I am sh I was shocked that you only have 10 cards. I for some reason thought that you would, like, if you would have asked me before I looked up the list, I would have said you have about 25, 30. I just feel like you've been part of like the online community for longer or long enough to have more than 10. I was just surprised that
I was too.
there were 10 of them.
Well, I'm pretty new to it.
When did you, so you started, you said with Commander,
No,
2015 was your
Arrogance.
first, but what was the first one that got released?
It was a Gearcrafter.
Yeah, the gear.
Oh, okay. Oh, right.
He had
Okay.
one piece in there, and we were just like, "What? Who's this guy?"
Right.
Really?
Yeah, and then move from there.
Okay.
Yeah,
Understandable.
that was the first one I remember because John Dale Beatty, who's a Vorthos over at Star City Games, he always writes about new artists that add in. He does a little research on them, and he's like, "Oh, I think this Victor guy is going to be pretty good."
Right.
Yeah, he might have been right, 100% correct,
100%. Yeah,
100% correct.
I like that guy. I don't know him, but
I'm sure he'll enter.
I like this John Dale Beatty guy. He seems like a very, very quality character.
Well, I mean, I think part of this ant is because you see Victor online more often because of his active social media presence with the artist proof sketches
Yeah.
and the gender bent planeswalkers. I think that really is very known in the community between prominent Vorthos people, and I would love to learn more about that. So one, why are they so good? Two, why are they so good? Three, why are my wiener dogs talking right now?
Yeah, but seriously, your artist proof sketches as of late especially have been like absurd. Your pencil work is absurd. I don't know how you're doing that on 2.5 by 3.5 inch little squares. Like they're blowing my mind. Like what's making you want to do that? Why are you getting so hyper detailed on the backs of these cards?
I don't know. I just like to do it, I guess. What I like, one of the things that really stuck to me after all these years of art making and art school and all that stuff, was actually pencil sketches and pencil work.
Okay,
And
cool.
like the easiest for me, you could say, and it's the more, now you could do it like anywhere, pretty much. You just ha need to have a pencil and that's it. So it's much more convenient because I moved away from traditional art mainly because of convenience. Because where I live, I don't get to to buy all the supplies and the materials. And if it's something breaks or needs to be replaced, I need to go a long way to get it. It's all but pencils. So I really stuck to drawing things and sketching things in traditional pencil.
Interesting.
Goes a little farther. Okay, that makes sense. And obviously you can, you know, make that huge or small. So
what are you doing with these, like, artist proofs? Are they ones that people have purchased and are getting signed, or are you just doing it to do it because they're amazing? Like, what's your reason behind it?
Well, two reasons, actually. I do it to kill time, because right now I don't have anything on the table. And I do it because I enjoy it, mostly. And, well, I guess third point is that while I'm at conventions, I get to sell these without taking time off of something else that I might be doing. Like, if I'm making a sale of a playmat or prints or doing another commission, like, people just can just browse this binder full of sketches and just take one.
Right. Okay. And
that makes sense. Anything you're going to be working on as like a set, or anything, any new inspiration that you're going to be working on for future sketches?
Yeah, Shadows of Innistrad over Innistrad.
Okay. So what does that mean?
Well, I did Avacyn and I did Arlen, and I'm pretty sure I'm going to do Tamiyo next.
Okay. And
Walkers. There were a few suggestions that I should do some gender bend Sorin or gender bend Avacyn, but I'm not sure at the moment.
Okay, so people that haven't seen this is a story. So Victor, I saw these like sketches in the back of gender bent a couple planeswalkers, and I'm like, oh my god, that's amazing. There was a Garrick that was a woman, a few others, and I'm like, oh my god, these are so good. They're so good that. Eventually, Victor and I got talking about he's working on this project to make a couple images for playing Emperor. You know, you all get a role, you get an Emperor, Guard, Assassin, whatever. And
sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. And we got into this thing of like, okay, well, maybe you need flavor text, maybe we need to name some things, whatever. And we're like, okay, can we get a gender bent planeswalker? Like, that's it. That's the only thing we wanted. Nothing else mattered. Like, no, nope. Money, cards, nope. Only thing. Like, in lieu of payment, I want a picture of that on my wall. Awesome. We'll post some pictures of what they look like below in the show notes. But suffice it to say, for people that are coming to a convention or a Grand Prix that Victor is at, you could definitely, I'm wondering this, Victor, could they contact you before, and could you make one and bring it there, or would you make it on site? Say if someone wanted to commission you to make a gender bent planeswalker, for example.
If you're my friend, then yes.
Fair. I see how
it is. A lot of time to spare right now, between real life and the doggies and all that stuff. That I just do these for fun, and they're pretty quick. But if you commission me to do something, it usually takes more time. So, and I've had some commissions in the past that the person doesn't show up.
Okay.
If I know that you're going to be there, then yeah, no problem. But
I see. So you've made some things for people, you know, and they're like, "Oh, I'll pay you in person or whatever," and they just don't come.
Then exactly. They don't show up.
That's crazy. If that ever happens again, you should like let me or Mike know, so that we can immediately post whatever that image is on every social media platform ever. And whoever that person,
I'm going to tell someone to buy it for me. Like,
okay, fine. Or Mike will be stingy and take it. I was going to suggest that we'll let the community have a shot, but
nope,
whatever,
nope.
Mike.
I'll buy it myself. Victor, you mentioned dogs, which we've heard of.
Oh, I knew
before.
That was going to happen.
So the dogs,
second that
come
you
up.
Said dogs, we now have to transition into talking about
dogs. We got to talk about the dogs. So
it turns into a dog podcast. No one cares about magic. Just dogs.
Snack time. See, no, our like deep dark secret is this whole time the real agenda of Snack Time was to become a podcast just about dogs.
About dog snacks.
Just dogs that are snacking.
Yep. We actually got sponsored by Purina. We give out dog biscuits at events. You'll see. So for listeners and viewers for this, I have three wiener dogs. You know, I talk about them all the time if you follow me on Twitter. But what people may not know is Victor has a lot of dogs.
Like 1,000 dogs.
Like a lot of dogs.
Like not even like exaggerating. Like how many dogs? At minimum, Victor, how many dogs do you have?
At minimum, well, I'm gonna break it down to you. I have dogs here at my place, and some dogs in a shelter, which I sometimes take care of and provide for. Here in my place, there are 13.
What are their names? Go.
Names. Morty, Pinky, Harry, Harriet, Gongi, Patricio, Braulio, Sandy Bell. Oh, man, you're putting me against a wall here.
So far, I really like Patricio.
I'm just, really nervous about doing a snack time that
I love it. I love it. It makes me so happy. And you're talking about
that's
dogs.
That's a good name, man. I might steal that one.
Patricio?
Patricio. No, not Patricio.
Patricio. Oh, okay, so there's 13 dogs at your house. And more of them. How do you take care of 13 dogs? Do you walk them all at the same time? Like, what? How do you feed them all at the same time? That is so many dogs.
You kind of get used to it after a while, because I didn't start with 13. I just started to get more and more and more. But usually the feeding thing is not an issue, because they're well behaved. The walking thing is kind of hard. We're fortunate to have like our own private park, you could say, which is like a soccer field. And whenever it's not at use, we get to walk our dogs there.
Wow. Who's we? Who's we?
My mom and I.
Okay.
So do you are they all, like all similar breeds and sizes, or are they just totally random across all 13?
No, just totally random.
Man, that's crazy.
So I mean, awesome. Do you have like Chihuahuas and like Labradors? Like, are there like big ones and little ones?
Yeah, pretty much.
We need a picture.
Can you somehow take a picture of yourself with all 13 dogs?
that's gonna be hard. They like for any amount of time they don't stay still. So yeah, it's gonna be a challenge.
That's utterly incredible. Oh boy! Like just wait until people like start asking. And they're like, "How's Patricio doing today?"
Yeah, Patricio.
just what's he doing? Oh my god! So, do they like hang out with you when you're like sketching and working, or are they outside?
No, they're outside dogs. Okay. Most of them, like half of them, are outside. They actually, some of them are scared to come in.
Oh wow!
But no, I have my own private studio without any doggies.
Oh, nice.
No, pretty nice. All right, so. So studio there in Mexico, do you get out often to like a local shop, or is there a large place where you go to play? Do you ever set up a table, or do you just kind of go in quietly with the deck? Because I'd assume people would recognize you, wouldn't they?
Yeah, not that much. They know who I am by name, but not a lot by looks, I guess. Yeah, my LGS is not that far away, like one hour and 30 minutes away.
It's an hour
and
a half?
An hour and 30 minutes?
Yeah. Wow. If you took all the cars, out of the way, it could be shorter, like 30 minutes, but the traffic makes it longer.
That's still really far. That's so far. So if you play Commander, you have to drive an hour and 30 minutes to play.
Yeah, pretty much. Well,
each
I take
way.
A...
each way.
Yeah, each way.
Wow. That's dedication.
That really is. That's
so. Is this LGS? Have you been going there for a really long time? Is this kind of has this been your LGS since before you started?
Yeah, since before I started Magic.
So did they just go absolutely nuts when they started drafting your cards?
Yeah, especially the first one. I remember the Origins pre-release that I couldn't even play it because everyone was coming at me and like, could you sign this card? Can you sign this?
That's amazing.
That's cool.
That's super cool.
That's really neat.
Yeah, but that
I went to my pre-release. Nobody knew. For Origins was my first set. Nobody knew.
Yeah, it happens when your name is not on the card.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, when your name is on it, it's not like they have your picture, but you know they'll find out.
Eventually, that will happen. They'll have your name and a small picture of you.
Yeah,
right. That's what I'm gonna demand in the next set. I want my name in the corner with a little thumbnail picture of my face.
Just grow a mustache; it'd be great for it.
Yep.
before we go, Victor, we don't want to keep you too long tonight. Keep you away from those dogs. You're coming to GP Minneapolis. Is there anything cool? Anything you're working on? Anything that you want listeners and viewers to know?
I'm gonna have Avacyn's Judgment prints. They're gonna be big. I hope.
How big?
I don't know the exact size, but I have a print guy, and he does them really well, and they're hand printed.
Ooh. Oh, okay.
Mike, you're gonna have to snag me one of these.
Okay. Yeah, that's gonna.
I love how that conversation went. Well, I don't know how big, but I got a guy.
And you're like, oh, you know they're good.
Like, oh, now I know they're gonna be good.
Then know they're gonna be good. Well, okay, well, that's great. We're super excited to have you. We'll definitely show you all around our city. We're definitely going to give you some good food local to us. It'll be a heck of a good time. But otherwise, we'll hear more from you there. Victor, thank you so much for coming on tonight.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Where can they find you on the internet?
The internet. I am most active on Twitter, which is at Victor Adame Art Twitter, and I'm on Facebook too, and I have a website, I guess, which is victoradameart.com.
Awesome. We can find Ant at Ant Tessitore on the Twitters. Your new website is up.
It's a link. Your website is up.
It's up and running, which, honestly, to know, this episode is the first after our announcement for the Snack Time Patreon. So thank you to all of our supporters for that and Gathering Magic, as always, for hosting us. We have some incredible stuff coming, so stay tuned. I have my new art newsletter right around the corner. You can find me at Vorthos Mike or the Snack Time Cast at Snack Time Cast. We're going to be doing a bunch of new stuff in the next week or two, but we'll get to that when we get there. But other than that, thanks for watching today, and we'll talk again soon.